Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Investments Limited Analyst Briefing 2020. Mr. Boon Chuan Foo, over to you.
Thank you, operator. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm the chairman of Global Investment. I have with me here Ms. Tan Wing Hong, the CEO, the manager CEO. She will be joining also in the question answers. Thank you for joining the briefing of GIL full year results for financial year ended 31st December 2019. It's our usual practice for such a presentation to include a disclaimer which is being displayed on the screen now. The order of business for today's briefing will be as follows. I will start first by highlighting the key financial data for financial year 2019. This will be followed by corporate overview and a portfolio overview of the company. Lastly, we'll discuss briefly on sector and company's outlook. Firstly, financial highlights for 4Q 2019. We reported a profit after tax of 3.5 million in 4Q 2019, as compared to a loss of 0.9 million recorded in 4Q 2018. Income for the current quarter was 21.7 times higher at 6.5 million as compared to 0.3 million last quarter, 4Q 2018, corresponding quarter. The higher income recorded during the current period was mainly due to a net fair value gain on financial assets at fair value to profit or loss of 2.8 million as compared to a loss of 13.1 million recorded in 4Q 2018. The loss recorded in 4Q 2018 was slightly offset by the net foreign exchange gain of 9.6 million. Slide 5. Total expense for the current quarter increased to 2.9 million from 1.2 million in the comparative quarter. This was mainly due to an incentive fee of 1.3 million charged for the second half 2019, as well as a net foreign exchange loss of 0.4 million recorded during the quarter. Slide 6. There was no other comprehensive income for the quarter as compared to a translation loss of 9.8 million in 4Q 2018. Total comprehensive income for the group was 3.5 million. Versus a loss of 10.8 million recorded in the same quarter last year. Net profit after tax for financial year 2019 was 19.7 million, about 2.7 times the 7.3 million recorded last year. The group reported an income of 26 million for the year, 116% higher than the 12 million recorded last year. The higher income was mainly contributed by a net fair value gain on fair value through profit and loss of 9.9 million versus a net fair value loss of 22.9 million last year. The loss recorded in 2018 was actually slightly offset by a net foreign exchange gain of 11.1 million and 6.8 million settlement proceeds received from the BBRNA litigation. Slide 8. Expenses for the current year was higher at 6.1 million as compared to 4.6 million recorded last year. It was mainly due to incentive fee of 1.3 million charged for the second half 2019, as well as net foreign exchange loss of 0.4 million. There was no other comprehensive income for the year as compared to a translation loss of 11.1 million in a comparative year. So total comprehensive income for the year ended 31st December 2019 was 19.7 million as compared to a loss of 3.8 million recorded last year. Total assets of financial year 2019 in the financial statements, slide 10 to 12, was 323.7 million as compared to financial year 2018 of 323.4 million. Net asset value decreased by 0.4% to 320.9 million in financial year 2019 after payment of financial year 2018 final dividend and final year 2019 interim dividend. If the 2018 final dividend was paid and the treasury shares related to the scrip dividend scheme has been utilized before 31st December 2018, the net asset value per share as at 31st December 2018 would have been 18.2 cents per share instead of 18.69 cents per share. After adjusting for the 2019 interim dividend and balance treasury shares, the net asset value per share as at 31st December 2019 would have been 19.35 cents, and the increase in net asset value per share would have been 6.3%. So dividend per share total 1 Singapore cents in financial year 2019. Moving on to the corporate overview, now less financial. We continue our move for managing being the best board. We won the silver for the best board award in the small cap category at the Singapore Corporate Award 2019. The SCA, the Singapore Corporate Award, is jointly organized by the Singapore Institute of Directors, Institute of Singapore Chartered Accountants, and the Business Times to support the Singapore Exchange and Accounting Corporate Regulatory Authority of Singapore. This is actually the Gold Star Award in Singapore. JL also received a special commendation award for companies in the small cap category of Singapore Governance and Transparency Index 2019. Company was ranked 11, a very credible 11 out of 578 listed companies in the SGTI 2019. The company's base SGTI score was 80 points and given a further 26 points, totaling a final score of 106 points in comparison to last year's final score of 100 points. GIL was also winner of the Singapore Corporate Governance Award in the small cap category at the FIAS 20th Investors' Choice Award presentation ceremony held on 26 September 2019. FIAS, together with industry partner, annually rate the best performing listed companies in governance and transparency for the benefit of investors. More importantly, we have been included in SGX Fast Track in 2019. The SGX Fast Track recognized efforts and achievement listed issuers which have upheld high corporate governance standard and maintain a good compliance track record. Therefore, you can see that we have been recognized by the very important public institutions in respect of our corporate governance and board management. 2019 dividends. The scrip dividend scheme was applied to the interim dividend of 0.5 cents per share. Company transferred about 36.4 million treasury shares for allotment shares at an issue price of 13.4 cents per share. The proportion of total interim dividend amount issued as shares pursuant to the scheme was approximately 57.87%. For the final dividend of 2019, we have recommended a payout of 0.564 cents per share. This has to be approved at the AGM this year. The scrip dividend scheme will also be applied to this final dividend of 0.5 Singapore cents per share. Based on the closing share price of 14.2 Singapore cents on 31st December 2019, the full year dividend paid of 1 cent will represent an annual dividend yield of 7%. In the year, we purchased a total of 101,456,600 ordinary shares. This will help with treasury shares. The amount paid, including brokerage, a total 13.6 million was deducted against equity. For the final 2018 final dividend, 34.731270 treasury shares were issued at an issue price of 13 Singapore cents on 21st June, and 36,439,036 treasury shares were utilized at issue price of 13.4 Singapore shares for the 2019 interim dividend on 10 October. As at 31st December 2019, the total number of shares represented 1.79% of the total number of issued shares. We did a few board changes. We invited Ms. Tan Mui Hong to the board in June, and she was appointed member of Audit and Risk Committee on 12th November. This will help to improve our diversity on the board, with her being the only female member of the board. In line with the corporate governance requirement, Mr. Xia, being the LID, will have to be a member of the Nomination and Governance Committee. So hence, he relinquished his position as member of Audit and Risk Committee and became a member of Nomination and Governance Committee. And I stood down from the Nomination and Governance Committee. Moving on to the portfolio overview. As shown in the slide, the portfolio overview of the assets for the year ended 2019 and 2018 were broken down in different asset classes. The percentage of the company's NAV, you have the figures there. I pause while you look in the numbers. The 13.4% of the company's portfolio has invested in listed equities as compared to 14.7%. We reduced the percentage in equities. The bank contingent convertibles increased from 7.6%. By 7.6% from 35.8% in 2018 to 43.4% in 2019. LPSA decreased 1.1% from 5.9% in 2018 to 4.8% in 2019. Our Chinese domestic bond decreased by 5.1% due to maturity of some of these bonds. from 17.3% to 2018 to 12.2% 2019. Other bond portfolio also decreased by 1.4%. Cash and other assets increased by 1.3%. The next slides will show the portfolio composition by currency. Okay. I will briefly discuss on the sector and company outlook. LPSA, as at 31st December 2019, the total carrying value of LPSA portfolio was 14.48 million, which represented 4.8% of the group NAV. 23.5% portfolio was unrated, while the rated issue has a weighted average rating of BA2. The portfolio comprised of ABS securities 46.1%, CLO securities 32.5%, and RMBS securities 12.2%. The largest foreign currency exposure was US dollar 51.1%, followed by Australian dollar 26.9%. CLO debt spreads remained wide in 2019 due to investors' preference for fixed versus floating rate securities, along with a decline in loan fundamentals. Trailing 12-month loan defaults of 1.3% as of December continued to remain below long-term averages, while leverage ratios of underlying issuers increased slightly with a decline in rating mix. Looking forward, despite lower CLO supply expected in 2020, CLO debt spreads will face headwinds as investor sentiment remained cautious on late-cycle concerns. In Australia, the RMBS sector, dwelling values nationally showed early signs of recovery in 2019, driven largely by regulatory easing and rate cut. S&P Australian spin report as of October showed a steady level of 30-plus days prime areas and a notable fall in non-conforming areas index. Muted wage growth and still high household leverage may moderate expectations of sustained recovery in housing prices in 2020. The Chinese domestic bond market, our carrying value was 38.98 million, represented 12.2% of group NAV. The Chinese domestic bond market, domestic bonds are rated by China rating agencies. The weighted average rating is AAA. None of the securities have an issue rating from international credit rating agencies. As of 31st December, the three IS ratings were utilities 59.8%, energy 30.2%, and material 5%. 2019 was a record year for China bond defaults in terms of both numbers of issuers and notional value, but credit spread continued to tighten as demand for yield remained strong. As a result, the year also saw a strong supply of new issuance as corporate issuers took advantage of lower interest rates and tighter yields while also extending their debt maturities. 2020 is likely to see even greater number of defaults in the face of slowing economy, as well as added pressure on the novel coronavirus outbreak. A number of high-profile defaults state-owned enterprises towards the end of 2019 also imply more selective government support for troubled firms, which will follow further emphasize the trend of credit differentiation. In the other bond sector, as at the 31st December 2019, the total carrying value of the other bond portfolio was 41.86 million, which represented 13% of group's NAV. 42.4% of portfolio was unrated, while the rated issue has a weighted average rating of B2. As of 31st December 2019, the three highest rating sectors exposure are real estate 25.4%, sovereign 19.4%, and financials 18%. The largest foreign currency exposure was US dollar 57.4%, followed by Singapore dollar 30%. Credit spreads tightened across ratings and currencies in 2019, and especially so in the month of December following the Phase 1 trade agreement between US and China. High yield bond yields also touched a five-year low, while also being significantly lower than the historical five-year average. Moody's noted that the rally of high yield bonds have occurred despite the lack of any observable broad-based acceleration of either business sales or corporate earnings. Given the relatively narrow credit spread, investment risk within the high yield bond is exemplified. Credit selection becomes increasingly important, and investors will likely deploy capital towards riskier assets selectively while looking for relative value across segments. Bank contingent convertibles carrying value $139.16 million, which represented 43.4% of group NAV. The weighted average rating was a BA3, three largest exposure being France 27.8, Switzerland 22.2, and Germany 12.7. The largest foreign currency exposure is Singapore dollar 40.8%, followed by US dollars 40.3%. Lower forward guidance of net interest margins was offset by ongoing improvement asset quality and capital build. Extension risk concerns have been reduced with issuers proactively pre-financing AT1s before they come to the first call, as spread tightens below reset spread over the course of 2019. Potential risk-weighted asset inflation continue to be headwind for investors within the sector driven by regulatory developments. The restarting of quantitative easing by ECB and the negative sovereign yield curves in Europe are likely to provide technical support for the cocoa asset class against political risk from Brexit-related development and a weakening economic outlook in 2020. As at 31st December 2019, the total carrying value of our listed equity portfolio was $43 million, which represented 13.4% of group NAV. The three highest weighting sectors were financials 40.6%, industrial 23.8%, and energy 8.5%. The largest foreign currency exposure is in Hong Kong dollar 64.1%, followed by Singapore dollar 20.2%. The weighted average dividend yield was approximately 3.78%. In 4Q 2019, the MSCI All Country Asia ex Japan index increased by 9.78% and 6.91% US dollar and Singapore dollar term respectively. Easing of trade tension between U.S. and China following Phase 1 trade agreement drove bullish sentiments. Both China and global manufacturing purchasing manager indexes also rose, reflecting effects of a virtual cycle following more positive sentiments. However, another uncertainty has surfaced with the novel coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan. Short-term selling pressure is expected as severity and extent of this epidemic is still unclear. Also, with U.S. presidential election happening this year, there is further uncertainty in terms of economic policy and trade tension. So in summary, in view of the increased volatility in financial markets and slowing economic growth, investors should maintain heightened vigilance and monitor some of the events that could cause market turbulence, such as re-escalation in trade tensions between U.S. and China, political risk, particularly Brexit transition, and potential surprise U.S. election outcome, the future direction of major central banks' monetary policies on interest rate path, and obviously the progress of the COVID-19. Looking ahead, the manager will continue to actively manage the company's asset to grow its asset and seek new investment in assets that will add value that align with the company's objective of delivering regular dividends and achieving capital growth. Active management of GIL asset will focus on optimizing risk-adjusted asset returns looked at. The company is looking at investments in high yield credit, hybrid investment, public and private equities, operating lease assets and securitization assets. In light of the financial markets, the company will be selective and focused on fundamental bottom-up analysis with preference to assets with defensive characteristics and good cash flowing generating ability. Thank you very much. That ends my presentation. We are open for questions and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll be placed in the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. Once again, 01 on your telephone keypad now. There are currently no questions in queue. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on the telephone keypad now. Once again, participants with question to pose, please press 01. As there are no questions or further questions, I will now hand the session over to you. Please go ahead, Mr. Boon Chuan Fu.
Okay, thank you very much, operator. As we have come to the end of the presentation, and as there are no further questions, we'd like to end the presentation. Do stay safe, and we hope to see you at our AGM. Good evening. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.